The Tao of Self-Confidence, episode 324.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits. Well, hello, friend. Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yapchan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is a divine messenger, and she also helps clients, you know, get rid of mind viruses. So I'm really excited to have her on and share her story with us today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Karen Lovely. Karen, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Sheena, and thank you so much. I'm a divine messenger in that I feel like I know my divine calling and purpose in this lifetime, and that is to share all my experiences and all the things I had to go through to get to where I am today and get to be who I am today. And that's where that divine messenger comes in. And it's not, I always say there's nothing special about me. Like, I'm just a human being, like everybody else in the world. But I've been able to deal with this human beingness and help others deal with their human beingness. In other words, dealing with their life right now so that they're happy and healthy. And then I just say, well, here I am, and here are some messages that could empower you. But there's really, anybody can do it if they train for it. And I just think if I can do it, anybody can, because I do come from a suicidal background. So I call myself a double suicide survivor, and that my sister committed suicide, and I call it slow suicide, where she killed herself with drugs, alcohol, and eating disorders. And then I had a suicide attempt in 2008 and clearly failed, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. And from all of that and everything that I've been through in my life, I feel I have a lot of messages. So from suicide to self-evolution to self-love is, in short, my journey. And then what's interesting is in my search for my own self-confidence and my own self-love, what catapulted my life and turned everything around, because I had been in therapy most of my life and none of that really worked. But what did work is when I learned about mind viruses, that's what I call them. And now I specialize in eliminating mind viruses that are unconscious and invisible. I focus on eliminating those mind viruses. And by doing that first and foremost, the self-love is inevitable. Oh, I'm sorry. If you hear any little yapping, that's my little dog in the background. I apologize.
That's all right. And thanks for sharing that. And Karen, what's your cultural background?
I am a Chinese American. I'm 100% Chinese, but born here in the U.S. And my mother was born here in the U.S. And my father was born in China.
Thanks for sharing that. And Karen, what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
My favorite self-confidence quote would be, you know, it's a quote that I, wow, there's so many, but there's a quote that I've had on a little card since I was a little girl, which is really profound. And the quote is, "The past is not to dwell upon. It is a well of conclusions we draw upon in order to act." I don't know why, for such a little girl, I'd have such a profound quote. And for me, what's interesting is in all my transformational training and learning and education, and then figuring out my own coaching system, it was so true that it's actually the past that unconsciously dictates our life, and we don't even know it. And but we don't ever need to dwell upon it. We need to know why it does it and how to not have it do it again. But it is. It's a well of conclusions in which we draw upon. And then once we know about those past experiences from childhood, that determine our self-worth or lack thereof, then we're able to move on and become better, stronger, and more self-loving. So that's what's really interesting.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. It's a great quote. I mean, a lot of people feel like they dwell on the past, right? We feel like we're defined by our past, not realizing, you know, we can learn from it and move on and create a different future, a different present moment in our lives. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And, you know, you probably had that as a child because it was just like the sign knowing that you were going to be, you know, something bigger. Sometimes we just can't explain it, right? Especially when you had as a kid, you're like, I don't understand this, but you know, you just keep, you just roll with it and see everything uncover as you grow older, as years go by. So thanks for sharing that. And Karen, what's your definition of self-confidence?
My definition of self-confidence is loving. I don't know if you want to call it a definition as much as a mantra, but self-confidence is really believing and trusting ourselves from within, regardless of what others say, think, or do, and to not fall into the trap of our external circumstances. So basically what's happening in our physical world outside of ourselves. And when I say that, so we're not at the effect of our thoughts, our feelings, and circumstances. When we have that in play, we are then able to see clearly who we are and who we are not and love ourselves unconditionally, no matter what, in the face of it all. For me, that is my fullest definition of self-confidence.
Thanks for sharing that, Karen. And, you know, Karen, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
My life was, on the outside, I appeared like I had it together, appeared that I was perfect, actually. But I remember at 6 years old when I didn't get enough attention from my mother and she was having the third sibling underneath me, you know, the third kid, I freaked out and I clear as day remember saying to myself, oh no, you know, there's another baby. I'll never have a chance to be noticed. And when I tried to give my mom a gift, she didn't say anything, and that traumatized me. And I actually said to myself, oh no, now I have to be perfect in order to be noticed. So at 6 years old, I became a classic perfectionist and overachiever. But in retrospect, that was all to prove that I was valuable and lovable to my mom. So for decades, here I am trying to prove myself with my external circumstances, with my circumstances of looking good, being a super overachiever. So I started riding horses at 7, and it was just one achievement after another, like a drug addiction. And so it was just a runaway train waiting to crash. I had no sense of myself. I didn't know who I was. And I remember about 8 or 9 years old saying to myself, I don't understand life and it makes no sense to me. And I don't want to be here if we, as human beings, I didn't say human beings to myself, but I'm like, why? I don't get that we're here. We're unhappy. We work and then we die, right? Can you imagine that? That's what I'm thinking as a kid. And so we can only imagine, Sheena, what my life was like. It was on the outside, it looked picture perfect, like country club perfect. And we were members of the country club later on. My parents, as they grew wealthier, we became country club people. So I looked good on the outside, and on the inside, I was complete opposite, like complete fighting depression that I didn't know and fighting to love myself, which I didn't even know I was fighting to love myself, but I felt like completely empty inside. That was the before, until my sister finally died at 2006. And that was the final nail in my coffin, where the guilt of not being able to help her. And yet I kept saying, you need to deal with your issues, and you're not an alcoholic, you're not a drug addict. You're using that to mask all the pain from incest, because she said she was incested. And that was it for me. That like broke my, that killed me inside. Because I had no way to help her. Not that I was to save her, but back then I thought, oh, I should have saved her. My baby sister, I should have saved her. And I had no power to do that. And so all this, the self-hatred and all the insecurities from childhood kept building. And this is the proof to me that I was the biggest failure and loser ever on the planet.
Pretty crazy, right? And I think that's, you know, most women, most Asian women go through that, right? Trying to look picture perfect on the outside and dying on the inside. I mean, you know, I have women who message me telling me these things, like, you know, they don't have, you know, they don't have money because the husband has everything, or, you know, their life is not what they picture it. And, you know, they feel like they're alone, right? And when they can hear a story like yours, they can realize, like, I'm not the only one who goes through these things, right? There's so many people who do it, right? Who go out there and deal, you know, go through all these struggles. And, you know, it's like, how do I get out of it? And, you know, it was like that aha moment when you realize that it was time for you to just change and be the person that you are today.
Yeah. But I had to, I checked out. There was a couple times I said, I don't want to live. I think there were a couple times, but this time I was done. Like, I absolutely said, I do not want to live. I'm done. I'm out of here. Until a friend saw in me what I couldn't see in myself. He sparked by saying, Karen, I may not want to contribute to the world like you want to contribute to the world, but I want to contribute to you at one of my charity events. And that ultimately sparked me and sparked a little tiny bit of hope. But I had already made my decision. I had already said, after this charity event, I'm done. I'm out of here. He had no idea. He just saw the deadness in my eyes that he had never seen before. And so it wasn't just, oh, no, it was drastic. I had to wake up from killing myself. And that's what did it for me. It was that, you know, only through a crisis are we most motivated to change. And I was at the bottom. I had hit the very bottom. And it was devastating. And if I hadn't done all this work, I know back, I would not be here today at all.
You know, when you say you hit rock bottom, I mean, the only way to go is up, right? So I always say that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sure everyone's been there. They've been at their lowest point. But the best thing about that is that you can start building yourself up, right? You can start doing things like, you know, doing self-help, surrounding yourselves with like-minded people or people you want to resonate with, and, you know, doing work on yourself like what you did. And, you know, because of all this, what's your life been like now?
Oh, wow. Okay. I just want to say one little thing before that, because I feel it's so important for me and your listeners and everyone, is this. In retrospect, it just hit me that the one thing that I think really helped me to continue to choose to live was that so many other people related to my emptiness and my depression and my suicidal tendencies. That's what made the difference, is when I shared at my darkest hour, crying, that other people, almost 100% of the people that I spoke to, listened and said, I felt the same way at a certain point in my life, or to a certain degree in my life. And that's what ultimately kept me here. Because going from a suicide attempt to recovering was not what I wanted to do at all. And I kept thinking, what is keeping me in there? And it was being able to share without any judgment and have people understand and support me, not by telling me what to do. Sheena, it was just when they said, I felt that way in my own life. And that was what got me here today. So now my life after the greatest blessing in disguise was my sister dying, in that she chose her death. Right? It wasn't up to me to save her, anyone else to save her. She made her choice. And at this time, I respect it. I respect it more than anything. I miss her. I love her, but she's in a better place. So because of that, I had no other choice but to, it was transform or die. And I chose to transform. And it was a long, long road. but so worth it. So now I am virtually, I no longer run my life by my circumstances. I no longer have to prove my self-worth and self-love through all my achievements and my perfectionism. Where I was driven by pain, I'm now driven by passion. And it was a lot of work. It's like training for the Olympics to do this. It was retraining my brain, understanding my unconscious, subconscious, and conscious mind over and over and over again, every day, like clockwork. But now I know what it is to love myself unconditionally and how to bring myself back to that when I'm feeling a little depressed or I'm feeling confronted by my circumstances. And now my purpose actually found me, because now I get to take everything that I've learned and trained for and help others with it and teach it to others, which is my ultimate purpose. And I feel better than I've ever felt my entire life. I'm healthier overall. And I'm not just talking my body. My body shut down, by the way. Chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and celiac disease. I had massive symptoms, and the celiac for sure was killing my body. There was a point where I couldn't even dance anymore. And I'm a former professional commercial dancer. Hip hop is my specialty, hip hop and jazz. And just like 8 years ago, I couldn't even move my body. I was asked to dance by one of my dance teachers in a performance, and I couldn't move, Sheena. I could not move my body. And so that was just a result of my mind dying. My body followed, which I believe that is exactly how it goes, because the body is the unconscious. It's a physical manifestation of the unconscious mind. And in 8 years, I was able to reverse all of that and actually be better today than I've ever been, to where now I volunteer my time and teach hip hop to recovering massive drug addict women, 18 to 25 years old, 26 years old. And they're also women who are out of jail and they choose to go through rehab. So it's like spiritually, emotionally, mentally, I'm healthier and better than I ever have been. Even when I was in fitness, because I had my own fitness training business and dance training business, like that was like 20 years ago, I am actually healthier than when I had that fitness training business. So I don't know, that could go on and on and on. But my biggest fear, Sheena, before all this work, and even before my sister dying, my biggest fear was to die unfulfilled, unhappy, and have no meaning in my life. That was my biggest fear. And not be poor, but be rich and still not have a sense of myself and a meaningful life. And now every day is meaningful. And I have to create it. Don't get me wrong. It's a daily practice. It's not one and done, but it's complete opposite. As a matter of fact, I would say my life after is unrecognizable, and I am unrecognizable to myself. It's almost like I'm not even the same person, but I'm in the same body.
Thanks for sharing that. And I totally agree, right? I mean, it's just doing the work. And sometimes that work takes time, right? Especially if you're not aware of, or if you're not familiar with it, it's going to take some time. It's kind of like when you're riding a bike. At first, it's going to be scary and weird and awkward, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, right? So, I mean, it's great that you're able to do that, right? Practice it. I mean, for some people, it's hard and it takes time, but it's also worth it in the end. And so I'm really glad you're able to share that. And, you know, to the woman who's listening to your episode, she may be in her own journey of self-confidence. What would be that one tip you would give to her?
The one tip is it's all within you. That self-confidence and self-love and self-worth is an inside job. And we can think it's outside of us. It is not. It's to focus on understanding yourself, your psyche, your emotions, your thoughts, your perceptions, the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious mind. The tip would be, there's your answer. There's the real secret, is focus on understanding you and who you are and why you are the way that you are and how your brain has a way of making up crap that doesn't serve you and understand that those are just illusions and their beliefs that were just hardwired in early on in childhood. And that if you focus on the inside, if someone had told me this, like not one therapist or psychiatrist ever said this to me, I would just go in and talk about the same things for years, but no one ever said, focus, understand your brain, understand your mind, understand your heart and how they all play together and that how they all can be your own worst enemy. And that's where I believe all the magic lies, and that you are the source of your life, regardless of your circumstances. So that's the long answer to, it's an inside job. Focus on your insides, your emotions, your mind, your heart. And that's where your freedom lies and your self-love. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, Sheena. Drop the mic.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Karen. It's a great tip. I always believe self-confidence is an inside job. We have to work from within so that, you know, it would gravitate to the external. So thanks for sharing that. And if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
Yes. www.karenlovelee.com. And that's KarenLovelee.com. Also, she and I do want to offer any of the listeners, your listeners, a 30-minute free phone consultation, an empowerment boost, and they can just contact me directly at KarenLovelee@gmail.com. I am offering that to all of your listeners. If there's anyone who wants to learn more of my upcoming live events, my conference calls, and all the things that I'm offering to help as many people in the world as possible who are ready. You know, it's not for everybody and you have to get to a certain point, but I'd like to offer that to your listeners as my gift to them.
Thanks so much, Karen. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Karen, you can also head on over to the taoofselfconfidence.com and search for Karen's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Karen for taking the time to share her story and journey with us. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sheena. I can't even tell you how honored I am to be on your show, and thank you for reaching out to me. And I love how you're specializing and really hitting the Asian women in the world, because even though I was born here, all that Asian stuff followed me, and it's still here with me. So I want to thank you on behalf of all the Asian women, but also all the human beings on the planet. Thank you for what you're doing.
Well, not a problem. You know, it's such an honor to have you on and share a story today. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of another amazing woman's journey to self-confidence. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of the Tao of Self-Confidence. Sign up for our free membership site to get more amazing resources for self-confidence by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.